We will call to order of the Palm Beach County Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board Public Workshop. Today, Wednesday, February 24, 2021 at 1:32 p.m. The Palm Beach TPA is conducting the workshop both in person and virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. Instruction to join the virtual meeting as well as contact information for assistance are provided in the published meeting agenda. The overview. TPA staff will provide an overview of the Transportation Disadvantaged Program in Palm Beach County. I invite Kelsey Peterson, Transportation Planning Agency Local Coordinating Board Liaison, to present this item.
Thank you, Mayor Grant. All right. Just wait a moment for the presentation to come up.
And Kelsey, we just need also you to state your name before you begin.
Sure. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. My name is Kelsey Peterson, and I am the Local Coordinating Board Liaison at the TPA. Before we open up the public workshop for public comments, I just wanted to provide some brief context about the Local Coordinating Board and the TD program. If I can advance the slide. There we go. So I'll begin by going over the Transportation Disadvantaged Program, then discuss the Community Transportation Coordinator and the services that they provide as PalmTran Connection, and then close by providing some information on the Local Coordinating Board before we open up for public comments. So to start, I wanted to provide the definition for Transportation Disadvantaged, or TD. The term transportation disadvantage describes those persons who, because of physical or mental disability, income status, or age, are unable to transport themselves or to purchase transportation. And this is illustrated by the Venn diagram on the right of the screen, which highlights how these factors might operate independently or overlap with one another. So this chart gives an overview of who is involved in the Transportation Disadvantaged Program and what the relationship is to one another. I know it's a lot to take in, but I'll guide you all through it, and you can focus on the boxes that will show up as outlined in green. So first, the Transportation Disadvantaged Program is a state program underneath the Florida Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged, or the CTD. The Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged designates the Designated Official Planning Agency, or the DOPA, which in Palm Beach County is the Palm Beach TPA. The DOPA, or the TPA, receives the Transportation Disadvantaged Planning Grant in order to administer the Local Coordinating Board, or the LCB. And every 5 years, the DOPA, or the TPA, also designates the Community Transportation Coordinator, or the CTC, which in Palm Beach County is PalmTran. And the Local Coordinating Board's role is to advise and oversee the CTC, or PalmTran. And PalmTran's role as the CTC is to administer the Transportation Disadvantaged Program and services. So again, the Community Transportation Coordinator, or the CTC, is the transportation entity that ensures coordinated transportation services are provided to serve the transportation disadvantaged population. And in Palm Beach County, the CTC is PalmTran Connection. PalmTran Connection provides transportation disadvantaged services through shared ride door-to-door paratransit service. And these are just some key things to note about the transportation disadvantaged services through PalmTran Connection. In terms of eligibility, individuals are eligible based on if their income or disability prevents them from using the fixed route service. The fare for TD trips is $3.50 for a one-way trip. And riders can make reservations 1 to 3 days in advance by calling or online at passweb.palmtran.org. A few other key things to note about how PalmTran Connection is administering TD services. In fiscal year 20, which is the most recent data we have for this, PalmTran Connection provided over 89,000 TD trips. The cost per trip was $33.11 for ambulatory trips and $56.77 $0.50 for non-ambulatory trips. And to clarify, this is what it costs to provide the trip, not the cost that riders pay. That's that $3.50 from the last slide. And these services are funded by the trip and equipment grant with an allocation of $4.1 million for fiscal year 21. And then the TPA, as the designated official planning agency, also receives funds in order to administer the local coordinating board. And that amount was about $49,000 for fiscal year 21. So transitioning to the local coordinating board, the local coordinating board, or the LCB, is an advisory board. It is established by the Florida statutes to advise the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged and the Community Transportation Coordinator, or POMTRAN, about local concerns and issues. The local coordinating board is composed of representatives from a range of agencies and stakeholder groups. That includes representatives for the disabled and elderly, a citizen advocate, a rider who uses TD services, and representatives from agencies related to healthcare, education, veterans affairs, and more, as shown on the screen. So the local coordinating board carries out specific duties in order to advise POMTRAN. This includes the Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan, or TDSP, which is updated every year to provide minor updates on the TD services in Palm Beach County. And then every 5 years, there's a major update, and we'll actually be doing a major update starting this fall. The LCB also performs an annual evaluation for the Community Transportation Coordinator in order to evaluate the services provided by POMTRAN Connection. And that process actually kicks off with this meeting and will go through April. And then the findings and recommendations will be presented at our next meeting. And then at our quarterly meetings, the LCB also reviews rate models and service levels and discusses topics such as safety concerns, eligibility, and any other relevant issues. So you can see here the timeline for the local coordinating board. We meet 4 times a year, and this timeline shows how the LCB duties are spread out throughout the fiscal year, which starts in July. The red box shows where we're currently at on our timeline, which is the annual public workshop, and then the third quarter LCB meeting, which is happening immediately after this workshop at 2 p.m. And again, I just wanted to provide some background and context in case any folks weren't familiar with either the TDD program or the LCB, but the real purpose of the TD public workshop is to receive input regarding unmet needs or any other areas that relate to the local transportation disadvantaged services. So with that, I will end my presentation, and now we will hear from you all. If you're a virtual attendee, please use the raise hand feature in Zoom, and if you're in person, you can submit a comment card. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey, for the overview. And Margie, do we have any public comments?
No, Mayor Grant. I haven't received any virtually at this time.
Okay. Do we have any people from the public attending?
We do.
Okay. Thank you. And so, and now, as a reminder, there are 3 ways to provide public comments for this workshop. And we receive no written comments, and there's no verbal comments, and there's no, and is there any attending persons that would like to make comments?
I do have that Robert Goodman has his hand raised.
Okay.
So Robert, you will need to unmute on your end.
Zoom webinar.
There you go.
Perfect. How are members of the LCB selected? Is it by commissioners, or is it?
Sure. So we have, as I showed earlier on one of the slides, there's a list of different agencies and stakeholder groups that we have as representatives for the LCB. And it can either be from people from those organizations can nominate a member of the LCB. And then that goes forward to our board, who can approve them, or someone who's interested can send us a letter of interest and a resume with their credentials. And again, we send that to our governing board.
I was curious because in Broward County, a commissioner appointed the people to the transportation board, And when there was an election, I got kicked off. So I was just curious. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman. And so is there anyone else from, yes.
I'm sorry, Lou, can you please turn your mic on so they can hear you?
There might be people on the phone, I'm not sure, so they wouldn't be able to raise their hand. So if you want to just maybe announce that if there's anyone on the phone.
No? Yes, so on the phone, you are able to raise your hand. I can find those shortcuts, I'm sorry. But I only do have one caller, so you can do *9 to unmute your phone. And I'm sorry, to raise your hand, and then if your hand is raised, I can promote you to speak. And I see no hands raised, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And so now I'll ask if the board has any comments in regards to the public workshop.
I don't see any board members with their hand raised, Mr. Chair.
All right. And so if that is it, is there anything else that I'm missing?
Mayor Grant, I do have some prepared questions to go over, if that is okay with you.
That's fine. Great.
So we will have staff pull up some questions on the screen, if you just bear with us. Okay.
All right. So these are a few questions that I thought people might be interested in. If they spark any questions from the public or the board, please feel free to raise your hand. So Lou, I think this one will probably go to you. But how has Palm Tran Connection service changed because of COVID-19?
All right, Lou Ferry for Palm Tran, just for the record. So we brought this to the board the past couple LCB meetings, but for this, we'll just talk about it again. So number one thing is obviously we had to pivot and make sure that riding the service was safe. So there's a deeper cleaning to all the vehicles. Also masks are required to ride. Also the drivers have to wear masks as well. There's less people riding, not as many as other entities throughout the country. But one thing is just the awareness of what's going on in the world. COVID has changed how we pretty much do everything in our lives. So for us, we clean more and clean and clean. The drivers pretty much, I spoke to someone this morning and said that, you know, I really want to give credit to the operators and the drivers out there, because they're the ones on the front line and, you know, technically risking their lives every day to transport people. I mean, you know, we have to assume that everyone they come in contact with is COVID positive. You have to assume that. So we've given them the correct PPEs. We've cleaned the vehicles, hand sanitizers, you know, wiping down vehicles, everything we can, but it's still public transportation. So we're not a social service agency. So there is an inherent risk for the rider also to take public transportation, whether it be fixed route or Palm Tran Connection. But I'm happy to say that on the connection side, for the paratransit side, we have not had one operator or driver contract COVID by transporting an actual passenger. They've done it in their social life, but not that way, which is great, which is saying that we've done the right things to make our service as safe as possible. So other than going into even more detail, fixed route wise, some cool things we did is we actually have, which I've gone through before, but just the highlights. We actually put a what we call a bus operator door, which is a plastic door that separates the operator from the fare paying customers that come on board. So that's another level of safety there. And we also put the Quantum system, which is a automatic wheelchair securement system on the fixed route buses. So that's pretty cool as well. If anyone has any questions, I can answer them.
So I did think of a question. You know, I know that PalmTran is creating a new facility for South Campus off of Congress to use electric vehicles. Will the transportation disadvantaged local be receiving these new electric vehicles, or what is the fleet maintenance schedule to receive electric vehicles?
So the electric vehicles are pretty far down the line because we need that infrastructure built and all that. I don't know if Jeremy has a better answer for that. He's over there. He's our fiscal director there. But going electric on the fixed route side would be the only way for us to do it now. Right now, they don't make paratransit vehicles or smaller vehicles in the electric. But we're how far are we away with electric vehicles?
We have.
Hold on. You got to wait. Yeah. And please state your name. Afternoon.
Name for the record.
Jeremy Baker, Director of Administrative Services for PalmTran. Currently, what we have on board for electrification of our fleet, we have funding in the TPA plan, I believe in 2025. That would be the initial fixed route buses. We have not determined the routes that those buses would be used on at this time. We are working through the process. And we're just now in the discovery phase of this process of looking at what we need to do and how we can do that properly.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I don't think there's any other hands raised currently, so I can go ahead and ask another question. Lou, could you talk a little bit more about the eligibility requirements for TD services?
Sure. Am I on? Yes? Okay. So traditionally, actually, the TD service can, it says you're joining. Do I have to ignore it? Okay. All right. So according to the statutes, the TD eligibility is actually anyone that has a disability, a senior, children at risk, anyone that's under the federal poverty line. So here, the good thing about the TD program, it allows each entity or each CTC, each area to consider what the best way for them to have the eligibility in their county. So for us here in Palm Beach County, we've based our eligibility for the TD program on income level. So you have to be below the poverty level. And if you have a disability that prevents you from using the fixed route bus, so similar to our Americans with Disability Act or ADA service, that's how we determined it here. We looked at the seniors, the children at risk, and the other categories, which is also those that cannot access transportation in some ways, as having an ADA accessible fixed route, also an extensive fixed route that covers a lot of the county. And we feel as though we've covered that with our fixed route and our extensive ADA service, because on the paratransit side as well, we have a big core area where we have the ADA folks under that as well. So in essence, what we decided was income and disability. Now, if you have, there's certain things within there. If you have for lack of a better term, you're an able body transportation disadvantage customer and you are just based on your income and you live near a fixed route bus, we actually make you buy the bus pass and you have to take the fixed route. You can't take the connection unless you're outside of that area because you have a fixed route bus near you. So if you're disabled, you have the whole county pretty much. If you're in the acreage or somewhere, you know, out in Western Boynton where there's no service, you can be TD because of your disability or your income. So the good news here in Palm Beach County is if you have a disability or if you're below the poverty level, somehow you can find transportation with PalmTran anywhere in the county, to any place in the county, which is pretty incredible.
And so you're saying the cutoff is the poverty line. So if someone is above the poverty line, they would be required to take the fixed route or pay for another?
So it's actually 150% below the poverty line. So whatever the federal poverty lines, every about February right now, they publish it. So we look at that. And then it also is depending upon family size, you know, your household income. So all these things are taken into consideration. And you can be TD eligible, but if you live near a bus, within 3/4 of a mile of a bus, we would have you go to the TD bus pass program so they don't take paratransit because it takes the cost $5 maybe around to take a fixed route bus trip, but closer to $37 to $40 for a connection bus, so or for paratransit.
So I'm looking at the website right now for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. It says for 2021, a person living alone, the federal poverty limit is $12,888. And so you're saying it's 150% of that, so close to somewhere around $18,000,
$19,000. Do you have the numbers? I don't have the numbers on me, but
we'd have to confirm those.
I think it's actually less than that. So it's 150% below, actually. So it takes it below that. We don't take the 100%. We go below that. So it's actually below that number. I can provide that next time. I can even get it in the break if you want to see the breakdown of what we have. So you know.
So if 100% is the 12,880, you're saying it's 50%?
It's 150% below. So it's actually below that. But I'll get the numbers for you. I didn't bring that because I wasn't sure we were going to talk about that. So
yeah, that doesn't necessarily make sense because it's 50% below would make sense, but it's like when you go above, it's 100% more. When you go below, it's below 100%.
Yeah, I can get the breakdown for you. It's easier if I just.
Okay.
And I believe you may be correct, Mayor Grant, that it's 150% of the federal poverty level.
All right. And then, you know, just looking at it, it goes up to, if you household of two, it says 17,000. Household of four is 26,000.
Yeah, I'll get you the break. It's easier to show to you.
Okay.
We have the breakdown of what we use. So.
And this is kind of like gross income. So it's not minus all the expenses.
Right. So it's just based on what they can show as income. Social Security, if they show, and you know, this is what I'm reporting, if they don't have. So you have to. So
what happens if someone doesn't have a tax return? Are they able to claim this, or how do they?
They have to go through the Social Security Department and show that they don't have an income or something. They have to. They also have to be a citizen.
So okay, so it has to be a citizen. It has to show income of a certain measure of the poverty line for the year.
Yep.
In some instances, they show a lack of income actually, because we do have a number of clients that do not have any income. So that's where they can get a wage statement from the Social Security Administration that shows that they have no income. I believe we also accept pay stubs as verification of wages and the tax returns. So there's multiple methods for a person to meet the eligibility requirements and the documentation.
Okay. And so we mentioned children, at-risk children. Mm-hmm. So if their family makes above the poverty line, they're not considered for the TD?
Right, right. According to this, we feel as though within ADA, we can get most of them, children at risk or through the poverty guidelines, yes.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Jeremy. And thank you, Mayor Grant, for the questions. Due to time constraints, I will hold off on any of the other questions so that we can start our LCB meeting on time.
All right. So if I may, real quick.
Yes.
So I did get a text. So right now it's $9,579 a year for one person.
Okay.
So I think the way I might describe it is wrong, but that number you have, we take 100% of that and another 50% below that. So it's $9,579. And then the max would be $29,140 for, this is also for our TD bus pass, just so you see, we have a sliding scale for that. So $9,579 for our $15 bus pass, which is the lower one. And then the $19,140 for the $20 bus pass that we would sell.
And that's per month or the year?
That's a year, per year.
Yeah. Okay.
And Mayor Grant, just to let you know, we will have to adjourn this workshop in order to start the LCB meeting. So if you would like to do a brief recess so that everyone in person and virtual has a break, and then we can start at 2 o'clock with the LCB quarterly meeting.
All right, so it is now 1:55. We will adjourn the workshop and we'll take a brief recess to begin our local coordinating board meeting at 2 p.m. We encourage you to stay connected and participate in the meeting at this time. The LCB public workshop is adjourned.